And now our visit with the youngest winner ever of the Nobel Peace Prize, Malala Yousafzai. She was just 11 years old when she began blogging and talking about her life in Pakistan under the rule of the Taliban in the Swat Valley. She was just 15 when a Taliban gunman tried to silence her by shooting her in the head. She survived that attack, and now at 20, she has become a global voice for girls' education. Malala recently returned from a world trip that took her to the Middle East, Latin America, Africa, and North America. While there, she met with young women, some of whom had escaped radical groups like ISIS and Boko Haram, to encourage them in their fight for education. She called it her girl power trip. And this past week, she attended the United Nations General Assembly in New York, where she spoke with political leaders about the need to prioritize spending on education around the world. We went to New York City to speak with Malala, and I started our conversation by asking her why she chose to start her girl power trip in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
I was really inspired by the way they welcomed refugees. And they were like brothers and sisters living together, no matter their background, no matter what their religion was. And that gave such a good message to the world that this is the America, the real America, that ideal America that the world thinks of, its values, the way it welcomes people. And it's about freedom. It's about respect towards other people, no matter where you are from. And then I went to Iraq and I went to the Kurdistan region, and I met Syrian refugees. I met Yazidi displaced girls. I met girls who are from Iraq, so Iraqi refugees as well, and Christian refugees. So I met refugees from different places, and how Kurdistan region had welcomed those people and were helping them. But there are still so many barriers. There's lack of funding in terms of helping refugees, and especially their education. They need response from the international community to increase their support for girls' education.
You met so many people, and I'm sure it's all a blur, but is there any particular person who stands out to you that you can tell us about?
So when I went to Iraq, Kurdistan region, I met this young Yazidi girl. Her name is Najla, and she told me her story that when she was 14 years old, she was forced to get married. So on her wedding day, in her wedding dress, she took off her high heels and she ran away. And then later on, ISIS, the extremists, they came to her region and she had to flee again. And while she was fleeing, she was attacked in her arm, but she still resisted. She went on, and now she's even that she has not been able to go back to her home. She's in this shelter with no electricity, no facilities. She has to walk 2 miles a day, but she's still continuing her education. And I called her to the UN as well to speak at the UN platform and meet these leaders and talk to them directly, tell her story that these are the girls who are refugees. I am really disappointed by the response that we see towards refugees, but these people do not become refugees by choice. It is the situation, it is the circumstances that force them. They have to save their lives. So we have to welcome them, we have to support them, and then invest in these girls' education.
I'm wondering if this time of year has special meaning to you, because as I recall, like in September when you were 11 is when you gave your first public speech about education. And I'm remembering that in October when you were 15 was when you were attacked. And I wonder, do you still think of that time?
So yes, like whenever October comes over the last 5 years, I do think about the attack. But it just reminds me that something happened this day on the 9th of October. But I also remember that how things have changed since then. And I still remember when I was in the hospital and I was recovering and I had to make the decision what I wanted to do next. And I realized that the extremists, they had tried their best to silence me, but they still failed. So now it was time to use my voice and take benefit of it, advantage of it for the rest of the girls. And just looking back of how much I have achieved so far, I think I'm really happy and I want to do more, because there are so many Malalas out there. We have to go, we have to support them, we have to give them a platform, we have to give them opportunity. Then they are the change makers. They can bring change.
Do you still think you would like to go into politics? At one point, I remember, you had even talked about being prime minister of your home country of Pakistan. Is that still a dream of yours? A desire?
I was 11 when I said that I want to be the prime minister of Pakistan. And it was because of what was happening in
Swat Valley. Well, a lot of 11-year-olds want to be a firefighter or a veterinarian. So it's
I was really disappointed with what was happening. Looking at the response of politicians, like, why weren't they doing anything? Girls' education was banned. There was extremism going on. More than 400 schools were destroyed And nothing was happening. So I said, one day I'll become prime minister and I'll fix everything. But since I have been meeting all these politicians and prime ministers, I'm quite disappointed. So not thinking about going into politics yet. And I'm not sure, but I want to finish my university education and then think.
I do want to say congratulations upon your admittance to Oxford and that you will
Thank
be starting
you.
Very soon. Do you know what you plan to study?
I have decided to do PPE, which is philosophy, politics, and economics. And it is an interesting subject.
But you're still doing the politics.
It's just as a subject, because these subjects really link, connected, philosophy, economics, and politics. And I'm really interested in studying them and understanding. But also, you know, it's a great opportunity to go into Oxford. And it's when I was young, like, I already wanted to go to such university, and I'm really grateful to get in there.
Do you think that you'll be able to, I don't even know if you care about such a thing, but to kind of be just another student? Is that, do you think that might be possible in these years, that you could just be another student?
I have gone through this phase before to be a normal student, and that was my school life in the UK. And in the beginning, it was really difficult because the way that girls would gossip, the way they would talk would be completely different. I was this kind of defined girl, like outside you get a definition. And I think it was that gap had developed initially. But later on, like, I made some good friends and they came to know me more. And at the end of like my school time, I was just a normal student. And I participated in each and every activity in school.
I was going to ask you that because when we last spoke, I asked if you had time for any fun. And your face kind of went, no. And So have you had time for any fun?
Yes, since I made good friends at school and outside as well. We would just go for like film, go for bowling, go for mini golf. And these were the things which I initially, I just thought that, oh, I'm now this serious girl and meeting these politicians and this is not my time now to enjoy life and things. But my friends just reminded me, like, you're not that old yet and you can have fun. You can be a bit cheeky. You can laugh. You can smile. And so I think I'm really grateful for that. So that has helped me and I think I'm ready for university in terms of that. But it would be challenging. It would be.
It is nice to see you smile, I must say. It is nice to see
you
smile. So that is Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai. We spoke with her in New York City, where she is attending the United Nations General Assembly. Malala Yousafzai, thank you so much for speaking
thank
with
you
us.
So much.
I hope we'll speak again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.